Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Quite a day for local sport from your local team.
Woo! This is Charlton Live. Charlton Live. Charlton Live.
Palmer closed down well by Charlton, retreated back, and Reeves in particular wins the ball back for Charlton and now picks it up again. Chipball looking for Jose, has made a decent run. Emmanuel, weak header, comes to Shira on the edge of the box. Shira shoots! Shira scores!
Oh, what a goal!
Charlton ahead! Poor header from Emmanuel, fell nicely to Michael Shira on the edge of the box with his right foot through the legs of the Reverend defence. Beats Rodak and Charlton have the lead.
I'll tell you what. Nicky Ojose, who gave the ball away in the initial move, was one of the main three that came back to try and win it back. And they hunted him packs, as I said before the game, hunted him packs, won the ball back with some great defending. And then instantly Ben Reeves spotted who? Nicky Ojose, after being involved in trying to get the winning ball back, was one of the first ones to sprint forward. He took the attention away from Emmanuel, whose header can only find Michael Giro. And he took him a little bit of time to get it under control, but once he had, he spanked that right foot right past Rodak, who stood no chance of keeping that out.
He's weaker right foot as well.
Is that weak?
Yeah.
Wow. No. It's a hell of a strike. Moskowski, left-footed delivery.
Good one.
Yes!
Go, Rebo!
And Charlton are 2-0 up here. And Rebo timed his run to perfection. The ball in for Moskowski was spot on. And Rebo with the header. Keeper had no chance. Charlton, 2-goal advantage here at the Valley.
Oh, Jake Moskowski with a lovely, sweet cross into the box. Just invited somebody to attack it. And Joe Rebo met the cross coming in absolutely perfectly about a yard outside the six-yard box and guided it to the left-hand side of Rodak, who had no chance keeping that out.
And it's ended up in the air by Barron and Chomp just trying to clear their lines, but Rotherham have it on the edge of the box with Palmer. It's a good challenge from Reeves and then Moskowski. Chomp can have a break here as Aribo has
sends
Jose a bit behind him, chips it forward towards Aribo again, gets it under control. Aribo approaching the penalty area. Aribo still goes to goal.
Yeah! What a finish! Come on!
Aribo for the second of the afternoon, set clear by Jose. He just juggled with his head and his legs, gets it onto his right foot, and underneath the crossbar it goes in. Aribo is the second, Chomp with the third. Come on!
Oh, that's just superb. Absolutely superb. It was a little skirmish on the edge of our own box with Reeves. We thought at one point we might get a free kick, but little interplay released the ball to the right-hand side. First thought that the ball to Ojose from Aribo was just had him back on his heels and the momentum had been lost, but he looped it back towards Joe Aribo, kept his run going. It took a little bit of a head control, chest control, brought it down to his feet and then slammed it off the crossbar and in for Charlton's third. What a lovely flowing breakaway and finish that was.
So good evening and welcome to Charlton Live. This is the big match preview here on Maritime Radio. My name is Louis Mendes. Joining me in the studio as we look back at that superb Easter Monday win over Rotherham United and ahead to Saturday's trip to the Mem to take on Bristol Rovers is Tom William. How are you doing, Tom?
Very good. Yeah, enjoying this.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he's still drunk from celebrating it.
Almost.
And joining the pair of us here in the studio at the Valley is Nathan Muller. How you doing, Nath?
Yeah, living the dream, mate.
You are, but you don't sound it.
Sorry, I was preoccupied. But yeah, no, that's my Twitter, not because of Tom.
Focused as ever.
Yeah, loving it.
Yeah, excellent stuff. So on tonight's show, as I said, we will look back at that superb 3-1 win over fellow playoff hopefuls at Rotherham United at the Valley on Monday, Easter Monday. We'll hear our exclusive interview with Lee Bowyer. We're also going to hear from Joe Aribo about that game. Then we will discuss the fact that Lee Bowyer is going to be here until the end of the season in caretaker charge. Of the Addicts and the little takeover update we got from the club at the same time. Then it'll be time to sort of look ahead to Saturday's game, like I say, the trip to the clash with the gas, as I like to call it, to take on the Bristol Rovers. We're going to hear from Jack Vittles, who writes for the Bristol Post, to get the lowdown on the Pirates, and of course from Lee Bowyer again, get some injury updates, that sort of stuff. But first things first, we just heard the highlights of the win over Rotherham. I mean, you two already spoke about it on the Love Sports show, but now this is the real stuff now. Let's hear it. What did you make of that game, Tom?
We conceded, didn't we? It was brilliant. Yeah, I thought that's probably the toughest game we've had under Bowyer. I wasn't at the Northampton game, but I've seen the highlights of that. And was obviously here for his first game as well. But I thought Rotherham looked organised, started the game well, and could obviously have been in front very early on. But we still managed to break them down, and in the end we go away with what looks like a fairly comfortable victory. And after the game, I think one of the players said that no one in that top six is going to, or the rest of the top six now that we're in it, is going to enjoy playing against us. And they're absolutely right. We look just a completely different side. We look back to the side that we saw at the very start of the season. And if we can keep this up, then I've got no fear that we're not going to get in the playoffs now, because we just look brilliant again.
No, can you believe how much things have turned around in the space of a couple of weeks? Because it's only just over two weeks ago that we were playing that goalless draw against Fleetwood here, which turned out to be Carl Robinson's last game. And the way we play now, the way we look as a team, it couldn't be any more different.
Right, it's amazing what happens when all 11 of you put 120% into a game, don't it? Everything falls to you. The second balls come to you. I don't think it was the most of fluid of and you know emphatic of displays, but previous weeks we've said that we never changed. I think it was the home game against Shrewsbury where they pressed us high and we didn't really know how to cope with it. We just tried playing that one way, and we played a different way on Tuesday, Monday, I lose track of days, and we were a bit more direct, but it worked, and I think that's pleasing for me because it shows that we do have that other side of the game, which I think was missing in recent weeks.
And it sounds absolutely ridiculous I'm about to say this, but when I looked, there was one point during the game when we were going forward on Monday, and I looked up, and one of the midfielders had the ball, and I was looking at what's ahead of him, and there was two strikers ahead of him, and for all of the fact that in the 4-2-3-1 the midfielders were supposed to join, it felt so different to see that there was two options up. You know, the midfielders weren't getting forward enough in the later stages of the 4-2-3-1 because we were trying to pass the ball around. They were coming deep to get it. In the 4-4-2, when I think it must have been Fossey or someone running forward, or it would have been someone else actually, but running forward with the ball, maybe Reeves, there was two strikers for him to choose from. And just those two options, it seems so logical now that you see it happening, being played out in front of you, how much difference that is when we've got extra men up there who can assist the team.
And I think that's what we've been saying for quite a while, is not that 4-2-3-1 was never the answer, because when we started the season with that formation and when we had Holmes and Fosu on fire either side and we had Clark in the middle linking all that play and therefore forced Okaski getting forward and Cashy next to him, with that 4-2-3-1 it worked brilliantly. And okay, we didn't batter many sides. I mean, Northampton was one example where we did, but on the whole we didn't, and even that was two quite late goals. That formation worked and we were getting players forward and there did look like there was options, but it just dropped off, and where Carl fell down wasn't his decision to play that formation. It was his inability to change it when that formation was no longer working. And Lee's seen that that's not working, come straight in, gone back to basics, tried something different, and now that's working. Now, if 4-4-2 stops working, there's no argument that says why not change formation again, try something different. But as you say, at the moment, every player is just clicking, and Nace right, they're all putting their everything into every game, and they're all clicking in the positions they're playing. And when we go forward, we just look like we're going to score every single time.
It's weird, because I was thinking about this the other day, with the difference between the two formations, the 4-2-3-1 and the 4-4-2. Now, as you said, at the start of the season, we were winning our home games. I think we won our first three or four, possibly, in a row. But and when you're winning, when you're playing well, then it's easier for the midfielders to get forward, that free to go and join that one and to be in and around the edge of the box. Now, when a team, as we saw, you know, not even that long into the season, we saw the likes of AFC Wimbledon who came to the Valley, and now they know, right, this is how Charlton play. We're going to come and be a bit defensive. They've had a good start to the season. They sit behind the ball, make it more difficult for us, means we're struggling to get forward, and therefore those three weren't going up to support the one because they were coming deeper to get hold of the ball and we were struggling to pass it around them. Now with this 4-4-2, just with that extra option, it gives the defence something else to think about. And you know, and we saw, like, in the first goal on Monday, now it's a long ball forward. It's I think the BBC Sport website described it as a hopeful or a hopeless, even a wayward ball forward. It wasn't. It was going straight for a Jose. It was a superb ball from Reeves, but the defender just happened to get there first. But because there's a second striker there, the defender makes a mistake, and rather than just going to his teammate anyway, there was a second striker to pick it up. Now, you know, unlucky for Josh Emmanuel, it just turns out that second striker, his right foot as well as his left foot is just made of pure meat, and the power in that shot across the goalkeeper was a superb strike.
Yeah, it was that note there, right back was a bit of a unit, wasn't he? Jesus Christ. But yeah, I think, like you say about the, you know, the three, I think we were so easy to play against, which I think we said a number of times on the show. Teams who were coming here knew how we was going to play, and they knew we weren't changing it. And I honestly think that Plymouth game, I reckon we won that first half because they didn't have any inkling that we were going to play that system. And I think they set up to deal with the 4-2-3-1. And by the time that they got back into the game, which was the second half, it was already over. It was already 2-0. So, and I think teams now are struggling to sort of see how they're going to cope, because when you play so narrow, the only way they're going to get past is go past our fullbacks. But in every game, they've been brilliant. But yeah, I mean, when you look up and you've got two options, like you say, it gives the centre-halves something to think about, because when you have one lone striker, you've got two centre-halves looking after one, whereas the Ajoze, which I might give him a mention, his movement since he's come back has been, he hasn't got a goal, but his movement has been absolutely brilliant.
I mean, yeah, Lee Bailey was talking about him in today's press day, and we've only got a short clip, so I don't think we cover that in today's press day, but he was really praising his work rate and how he's almost a different player, and he certainly has been amazing. I mean, the club put out the video of that couple of dummies he's done in the first couple of games under Bailey. But like I say, his movement, you know, drag defenders away from whoever's running with the ball, his flicks, I mean, his involvement in the build up to Aribo's second, Charlton's third goal on Monday, he's like a completely changed man. Now, we'll talk about that goal then. So I mentioned there Zairo's finish was really impressive. Now he's starting to get a run, and now we're starting to see that little bit of form that we were promised when he started. Now he's got his fitness up to scratch, I guess.
Yeah, and I think as well, you know, he's not, one, he's back to full fitness. Two, he's not just being thrown in towards the end of games. And three, like you say, he's got someone playing alongside him. And I think we talked about the big man, little man, if you like, scenario at the start of the season with McGuinness and Ajoze, if Ajoze was going to be here, and obviously that didn't work out. But I think McGuinness, I mean, he proved it when he then came on against Northampton and got his goal late in that game as well. But that combination works, and you're both right. The work that Ajoze does is phenomenal. And I think that was the thing that perhaps let him down at the early part of his Charlton career, because he did get a few goals, but it just looked like he didn't want to be here and his work rate wasn't there. But now he's not scoring goals, but he's putting so much work in that he's getting standing ovations every time he gets brought off. And the reason he's being brought off is because he's absolutely knackered because of how hard he's working. So he deserves that credit. But yeah, on Zairo as well, I mean, he was obviously going to come here and said it himself to try and play his way back into the World Cup squad, and he's doing no harm, is he? Because at the moment, again, he just looks brilliant. And that finish, I just said it to Nafe before we came on air, that at the time I thought it was a decent finish. When you watch it back and realise just how hard he hit it, it's amazing.
The keeper had absolutely no chance. A good tweet in, actually, from Colin Hart, says Ben Reeves was outstanding. He was even out jumping their players in the air. Man of the match for me and his mate Steve, coming you Reds. That's from Colin. I mean, we'll talk about Ben Reeves there, and certainly involved in that first goal with the ball forward. And he seemed to have had a bit of a breath of fresh air recently. I mean, me and Tell were chatting the other day. We were saying, like, we've seen good performances from him, but most of them previously this campaign had come on the road, so not as many people would have seen them. But now we started to, you know, the last few weeks he's been excellent.
Yeah, well, we all know a good player, technically he's good, but I've been impressed with his work rate. Again, I've said it before, he's tracking back, you know, he's putting his foot in, he's winning his headers, which is unbelievable. But he did say in his press conference, isn't he? The size of his forehead, he should win more. But
yeah.
No, again, he's. I think everyone's bouncing off each other at the moment, and I think that's a good thing. But yeah, Ben Reeves, we all know what he can do, but I just think everyone. It seems, like I said on Monday, everyone seems to know their role to a T. Everyone seems to know exactly what they got to do, and then they're all pulling in the right direction.
So 1-0 up at half time. I mean, Boyer did admit it wasn't our best half under him, and he said in my interview that we felt fortunate to go in 1-0 up, but the second half, you know, we knew Rotherham were going to come out and they had sort of a half chance, whereas a little touch towards Amos, but Charlton on the counter attack in particular looked particularly impressive. And when that second goal came, and it came from a great run again from Ben Reeves, who won the free kick on the left hand side, and simple as you like. I mean, Aribo arriving late at the far post, he admits it himself, it went in off his shoulder, but they all count, don't they? And you know, starting to edge ahead, and you're thinking, right, here we go. Now we're sending a message, you know, to a playoff rival. You know, not in the best of form. I think they'd only won 1-5 before they came to us, but apparently they'd played really well against Peterborough on the Friday. And we were, you know, sitting about them in that second half, and we looked very good.
Yeah, and as you say, even though their form hasn't been brilliant, the way they've been playing has been good, and I thought they started the game well as well, but... it came off his shoulder, but his movement for that goal was brilliant, and he was completely unmarked. And you know, half of that, I'll put that down to their poor defending, but at the other half, I'll give credit to Joe Aribo, because you know, you've got to be able to take advantage of that space, and he did that. And as you say, to put that bit of daylight between teams, I mean, that's even when we were winning games under Carl, we weren't necessarily getting that much daylight in games, and we weren't in a position where we felt comfortable. You think even games towards the end of his career where we won, like the MK Dons game, we get two goals up and then a minute later we find ourselves at 2-1 and we were clinging on at the end, it felt like. So yeah, it was just made everyone feel a bit more comfortable, and obviously we're winning games, so the atmosphere's up. I thought the crowd were brilliant, and that just feel good factor, it kind of, the circle just keeps going round, and if we can keep feeding off that for the next five or six games, we're going to be in decent shape, hopefully come the playoffs.
Now that third goal, oh, I could watch that all day. Counter-attacking football at its finest. Now, obviously, Rotherham had possession on the edge of our box, but I think it was one ball out, possibly from Forster Kaskin. I'm not sure it was. But then you got a rebound and a Jose with the 1-2. Now, the execution of a Jose's pass back wasn't perfect. He put it into the right area. I think he would have preferred it to have gone a little bit flatter. So he gave Aribo a lot to do. But I mean, I thought Dele Alli scored a pretty good goal the day before, where he just brought it down one touch and put it straight in. Aribo had a lot more work to do there, but then sort of ended it with almost exactly the same finish. I mean, that was a superb strike.
Yeah, and I think it was a Jose won the ball back deep in our own half to start the attack as well. But yeah, the ball went, you know, wasn't on a plate for him, but it just shows that to have the composure, because it wasn't like... It was in seconds. It seemed like Aribo had the ball for ages, and he was hunting down on goal, hunting down on goal, and he had the pace to get through. And like I said, he had the composure to finish. Which, let's be honest, how many times have we seen our players go in those one on ones and just miss them? So it shows. But yeah, did it come off the bar a little bit?
Yeah, definitely went in off the bar as well. Yeah.
Again, great finish, and I think Joe's flourishing a lot at the moment because I think he's playing in a more advanced position. Yeah. I think he's wasted sitting deep.
Yeah, it's interesting to see now that Cashew's back in contention for Saturday, whether he'd be, you know, back in the team. I think he'd struggle, wouldn't he? In fact, Crossy said, "I'm quietly confident for this Saturday. The Gas have a few players missing through injuries and suspensions. However, they're a strong side at home." But he wanted to add as well, the special mention for Ben Reeves on Monday as well. He said he was frightening, which is good to see. And Charlton Anorak said he enjoyed the bonus show, but it's great to have the live show back. Plus, season tickets are on sale on April the 12th, and we'll talk about that in a little while because that is sort of the update. So we had our three goals. I mean, Rotherham did pull one back. Richard Wood, of course, who's played for us. Is Michael Smith had the original header. Now, I had the perfect angle to see. I mean, Amos made an unbelievable save to keep out Smith's header, but it just so happened, unlucky for him, that Wood was right on target to touch it home. But we never felt nervous, never felt that they were going to come back. Well, no, fingers shaking your head a little bit.
Oh, I don't know.
I was chatting too much, didn't you?
Yeah, I still felt a little bit nervous. But I think, you know, two goals. I didn't think we'd lose a game. I just thought at 3-1, if they got another one,
I'd
feel like Oxford all over again. But we said on Monday, didn't we, it was nice to actually see us attack them and not actually sit back. Even though it was a bit art and mouth sometimes, I just think best form of defence is attacking it sometimes, and I think we've done that.
And then obviously that win puts us back in the playoff position now. I mean, psychologically, I think there was at least one game that got called off, of course, on Monday. So there's a couple of teams that just had to sit back and watch us overtake them. But psychologically now, we're the team that's going to be chased, or you know, Bowyer's still talking about looking up the table, see if we can get further up. But then, you know, the teams outside the playoffs are thinking, right, we've got to catch Charlton now. So psychologically, what does that do for us, and what does it do for them?
Yeah, it's huge. I think we've said for a while that even though we were outside the playoffs, destiny's in our own hands, in that we've got all the teams around us to play and we had the games in hand. And if, I mean, like, I'll go back to what Bowyer said at the start about winning every game. If we were, we were going to finish in the playoffs. And yeah, we've done so far. We've done exactly what he's asked. We've won 3 out of 3. We've got ourselves back in the playoffs. We've beaten 2 teams that are already around us. We have a few more to come up. So, like, I can't remember which player it was that said it, but like they said, everyone should fear us now because we're the side in form. And we've kept looking at games. You know, when we came in to the Plymouth game, we were saying they're the team in form. We're a bit nervous. If there are shows, you know, that other clubs are doing or whatever, those players are going to be looking and going, right, Charlton are the informed team now and we've got to play them. Mm. And so it goes back to what we said at the very start of the season. We're back in a position now where we can impose our game on other teams and we can be the bigger team, if you like, and show them, you know, be in control of the match. And if we can continue to do that, then, as I say, I'm not worried, which is such a distance to come from, what, 3 weeks ago when I was writing off our playoff hopes.
And you always want to be the team that's hitting form just as the playoffs start, don't you? So hopefully that'll be the case. Right, Lee Bowyer came in to speak to Terry after the game on Monday. Let's have a listen to it.
John Boy, Lee Bowyer in the studio after another emphatic win, Lee, and it's getting a habit, this.
Yeah, it's a good habit. I've said that to the players today, yesterday. Don't be afraid of winning and keep winning. Because when you make it a habit, it's a good habit to get into. And again, they took on board and what the information that we've all been passing on to them, and their work rate again was unreal. And their togetherness and their not to get bullied, because Rotherham can easily bully, you know, like they're a physical side and they're quite direct and they fight for second balls. But we all was all men today and stood up and was counted.
I think that's the key thing about the last 3 games, really. They've all been different battles, and today was a real physical one. Even when we were 2-0 up and then 3-0 up, there were still battles to be won.
Yeah, yeah. You couldn't switch off, like they scored from a long throw, I think, at the end, which is disappointing. We'd rather like the clean sheet, you know. But yeah, no, the lads are, the togetherness they're showing, and because we know what they can do in possession. So the other side of the game, the dirty side, if you like, that competing and fighting for each ball, and that's the thing that I've tried to introduce to them and drum into them that should come first and foremost, and they're all doing it. Like you got Nicky Adjose running back into his own halfway into his own half to win a tackle, to then sprint up the other end, to then challenge for the ball that the defender then nods it down into Michael's path, and then he finishes. Most people probably wouldn't even see that, you know, and to associate Nicky or Jose of doing that, they'd have laughed at you if they said that, yeah, that's what he'd done today. But that's what he's been doing the last 3 games since he's been playing. His work rate has been unreal, and he's so clever. He makes runs that create goals. Like his movement off the ball is exceptional.
Well, not to big ourselves up, but we mentioned it on commentary with that for the opening goal for a start. But not just that, there was a time as well in the second half, in the first half rather, when there was just a little bit of misplaced pass on the edge of the Rotherham box. They broke quickly, and actually it was Nicky Adjose who was pretty much on the centre half position. Yeah. Now the ball didn't come there, but it just shows the level of commitment. Ben Reeves as well, every blade of grass, Forster Casket, they're all doing the same, aren't they?
Yeah, no, their togetherness is unreal. And like I said to you the other week, that's what I've demanded from them. And they know if they don't do it, then they don't play. It's as simple as that. And you've got people sitting on the bench and back in the dressing rooms that want to play. So, but their togetherness is just enjoyable for me to see it, you know. And every day in training, that they're just a different animal now. And it's so exciting because I know what they're capable of doing. No, you can't stand it.
You can't stand me now. It's going to be taken by Joe Da Silva, and now Forster Kaski looking to whip the ball in, and he does, and it's a really dangerous ball all the way across,
and it's in there.
Come on,
and it's super Josh McGuinness, who has put Charlton 2 goals in front. They've been looking for that second goal. They haven't really had many chances apart from the Aribo strike early in the second half, but Charlton have doubled their lead.
Welcome back. This is Charlton Live here on Maritime Radio. We just heard there from the Addicts manager, Lee Bowyer. We'll hear from him a bit more in a few minutes, because we're going to talk about the fact that he's been extended. But now I want to talk about Joe Aribo, because we're going to hear from him again in a few seconds. Now, Aribo, like we say, he got those 2 goals on Easter Monday. He's taken up to 6 for the season, all of which have come here at the Valley, ironically. But I mean, in terms of the fact that, you know, he had to wait his turn this year, because obviously in that 4-2-3-1 we had the two defensive minded midfielders, if you will, with Jake Forster Kaski and Ahmed Kashi. Now, you know, Joe did come in a couple of times in the number 10 role towards the end of Carl Robinson's tenure, particularly the MK Dons game away. You remember, he was pretty good. But I think, I don't know, I feel like he's suited better to the more defence. I remember at a time a couple of months ago, I said, I wonder if he could play that attacking midfielder a bit better, but I don't know, just with the legs he's got to get up and down the pitch, as we saw on that counter attack. I just wonder if I was wrong on that one, and if he does suit a bit better in a more slightly defensive but then box to box midfield role.
Box to box is the term I'd use for him. Yeah, and I think we shouldn't really be too surprised, because when he came in for, I don't know how many appearances he made last season, but it seemed like a lot. He did well last season, and okay, he's added goals to his games now, but he always looked a talent. And for me, it just looks like, you're right, he was patient and he waited for his chance, but he's just gone up that extra level. And at that age, that does tend to happen. You know, he had a good season, now he's improved a little bit again. The question is, can he keep building on that for the next couple of years? If that's the case, he's going to go on to be another Joe Gomez, Ademola Lookman, Jonjo Shelvey, someone who then makes that big step up to the Premier League. But there's a long way to go from that. I mean, we know how Bowyer's compared him in his press conference.
Patrick Vieira, isn't it?
Yeah, but you kind of understand what he's saying, and obviously he's not at that level yet, but the way he gets around the pitch, the way he imposes his game on other players and can pick up the ball and just drive forwards. I mean, that goal, okay, there was no one between him and the keeper when he picked the ball up. He had loads to do there, and he managed to bring it down, and the finish was obviously brilliant. And yeah, he's just a very, very exciting player to watch, and another one, yet again, that's come through our academy. And how many times do you mention the work that they do? But yeah, it's just great to see him now taking his chance and scoring goals and just enjoying his football.
Amazing to see a player who's so good with the ball at his feet as well. You know, I've never seen anyone who can move the ball between their feet so quickly. And if you look at the build-up to our first goal up at Northampton, he was the one who sprayed the little pass out to Lewis Page. But some of his touches in that move is real, like one touch passing, here it comes, give and go, that sort of stuff. I mean, his quality on the ball really can't be underestimated, really. And then you see the fact that he can do it with his head and his chest and all that when he's going through to score against Rotherham on Monday as well.
Yeah, no, exactly. And I think he's like you said, his technique and his touch with both feet are very, very good. And I think that's why we all won the agreement when we say he's not suited to defensive. When I say defensive, I say like a Jake Forster catch where he just gets the ball and just sprays it. I don't think he's that box to box, because he's wasted. He's good with his feet. He can pick out a pass like Jake can, but I think he's got more pace than Jace. But yeah, I mean, he's even though when he first come on the scene, I mean, it was what was it, Bristol Rovers at home when he got, or was it Peterborough when he got the three assists in 2 games or something?
Yeah, Bristol Rovers at home.
Yeah, you could say, you could tell he had talent. Well, you could tell he had potential, but you knew he was still quite raw, and you knew he still needed a little bit more physicality to his game. Because I felt in some games he did look really lightweight, but this year I think he's come on leaps and bounds, and I can only think it's because of the magician Lee Bowyer, who's obviously talked that into him, who's took him and obviously JVC under his wing.
And you forget how young he is. Like I say, he's only 21, and also I think it's probably fair to say you forget that he only really started around Christmas a couple of seasons ago. Now, when I made a way to I don't know if it was his debut, but he certainly got an assist away to Southend. It was one of his first or second game, let's say, those 3 assists he had against Bristol Rovers. You forget how, you know, because it feels like he's been around for a while now, but how raw he is. And as you say, he hasn't played too much this season. Now, of course, you know, as we've said, he did have to sit out and wait for Ahmed Kashi, you know, and for his chance to come. And he did have a chance, you know, when Kashi or Jake's been out, or when he was playing in a slightly more forward number 10 position. But now that Ahmed's been out for a while, but is going to be back in contention for Saturday, I mean, I'll be surprised if he comes straight in. But over the next few weeks, I mean, I think Lee will struggle to drop him. I mean, a midfielder who gets forward and scores goals, I'm sure Lee Bowyer thinks, oh, I could see a little bit of myself in that.
Yeah, I think you, and we've said it for the past couple of weeks, you don't change a winning formation unless you really have to. So obviously, Page coming out for little Jay Da Silva because of him still improving his fitness and coming back from a long-term injury. But I mean, unless you're going to change up the formation, I'd see no reason to drop him. Just keep him going. Like I said about the whole team, keep riding that wave, because at the moment we're just on a good run. And yeah, Kashi's class and he's been one of our best players of the season, but he's got to fight for his place to come in. No one's got a God-given right to go back in. You look at the goals, okay, McGuinness has had his poor form over the season, but overall the goals he's got, he was Robinson's number one man. He can't get a place at the moment because Zyro's scoring goals. If Zyro drops off, McGuinness comes in. That's the competition for places we were hoping to get all through the season, and injuries kind of curtailed that. But now that's back, that's great, because it's going to push Aribo on to perform, and he knows that if he starts to drop off, then Kashi's going to be waiting to come on.
Right, so Joe Aribo did perform on Monday, as he has done recently, but obviously it's been a huge turnaround in form for the team as a whole. So I asked him what he put that down to.
Everyone's working for each other. Like, you can see out there that we're all hunting in packs. So from there, like, it just makes everything easier. With hard work, that's the main thing. You've got to win the battle first, then earn the right to play.
And what about with Lee Bowyer in particular? I mean, what has he brought to you personally that you think he's added to you since he's became the manager?
Well, even before he was a manager, like, he used to always do one-to-ones with me, and that's still going on. So it's just like he always talks to me before games, like, just to make sure I win my battle first and stay in the game, make sure I'm getting assist goals and making a box. So yeah.
Because Carl said it a lot as well while he was here, like towards the end of last season, the start of this season, about how Jake and you, he wanted you to get into the box to score goals. So is that, you know, who is it that helped you, that's helped you do that?
Yeah, well, it was also Carl as well as Lebo. They were both working with me, and I always hear Lebo on the side just shouting Joe box, and then it just makes me like switch on, and then I just make my way into the box.
Ahmed Kashi's been out injured for a while now, and you've sort of taken your chance while it's come. So, is it a case of, like, if and when he comes back, if he does come back, I mean, would you be worried about your place, or do you think you've earned your place?
To be honest, I'm not really focusing on that, but it's healthy competition. I mean, you always want to have someone pushing you, because it means that you got to work harder. So yeah, it's just healthy competition.
Obviously, being in the top six today, does that, psychologically, do you think that could be a bit of a blow for your rivals? Because obviously they've been overtaken today. A lot of them didn't play as well today.
Yeah, definitely, because they'll be watching us and they'll be worried, thinking, yeah, that Charlton pushing. So yeah.
And people talk about the form team going into the playoffs, and obviously over the last three games now, we've turned into that team. Do you think you can? How important it could be if you could keep this form up to the end of the season?
Yeah, I mean, we've got to just take every game as it comes, not look at the game ahead of that one. So we just got to keep working hard, winning if we can, and yeah, we'll see where we go from there.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra.
Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Little chip ball, looking for Lorana Fosu, who's onside. Fosu, edge of the penalty area. Can he get a shot away? He can, and it's the opening goal. Tariq Fosu sprung the offside trap, gets his second goal of the season, and Charlton's first of the evening, and they're 1-0 up here at the Banksia Stadium.
Welcome back, this is Charlton Live here on Maritime Radio. The big match preview, going to look ahead to Saturday's game. Over with Bristol Rovers in a little while. Now, there's been a big news week, I guess, in terms of Lee Bowyer himself. Now, we know he was here as the caretaker manager, but it's been confirmed during the week that he's going to hold on to that job for the rest of the season now, which is great for all of us who's got in there on that bet that only needs to go 10 games, which is exactly the amount of games he'll do. Which is good for me. Now, you know, given the job to the end of the season, I don't think anyone's completely shocked by that news after the start he's had, Tom.
They had to do it. It's the right decision. Like, I don't know who's made it in terms of whether it's new owners, whether it's current owners, whether it's Richard Murray, whoever. It's just the right call.
Yeah, I mean, the club's currently in takeover discussion with two separate parties, and whilst it's not been finalised, it's confirmed that one of the conditions of the sale, which was agreed by both parties interested in purchasing, will be that Bowyer is kept on. So who actually makes that decision? Yeah, you're right, I'm not sure.
But either way, it's the right call. As we said, if he goes on to lose a couple now, what difference is that going to make in terms of why get someone else in just on the short term? Let him see through to the end of the season, wherever we are and whatever's happened with the takeover, then you can reassess everything, because there's a lot of work for the new owners to do, as we've spoken about, in terms of contracts, in terms of us building a new squad, even short term, as I'm sure we'll come on to, in terms of season ticket prices. There's a lot for them to do. So just having a manager in place to carry us through that period just makes sense. And as I say, with the run he's on, you can't argue with it anyway, because he started so well.
Now, do you think you can... it will make any difference now that he's got a little bit more stability in his role?
No, I don't think so. I think he'll still approach it the same as he probably would have done, even if he was told behind the scenes that Saturday would be his last game. I don't think Bowes is fazed by it. He'll still demand the same from the players. He'll still say exactly what he wants, and I think the players will carry it out, because I think it already made clear to the players that if you don't pull your weight, then you ain't getting a game. So he's laid it. He's laid the cards out, and they all know the score. I agree with Tom. Doesn't make no sense to change him. It just gives us that little bit of stability now, and gives the new owners, whoever they are, or when it happens, some focus elsewhere.
I mean, what do you make of the fact that both of the new owners have agreed that they want this? And now it's just the wording of it is quite confusing. So what, have they suggested it and the club have agreed to it, or have the club suggested it and they've agreed to it? Because why would Rowland care, for starters? But I mean, it seems like a good idea. And the fact, I mean, you like the fact that both parties have agreed to it, because it doesn't mean they're going to bring in their own man to derail, you know, the little run we're on for the last couple of games, if that is the case.
To me, it seems like someone at the club has made the suggestion and they've agreed to it. As you say, I don't know why Rowland would, but at the same time, I don't know why they would be stipulating that so like keenly ahead of the takeover. I think the one main thing it says to us, that and again when we come on to talk about the season tickets in a bit, those two things say to me that the takeover is clearly happening and is getting close, because they're making decisions on managers or being involved in it. They're being involved in decisions about pricing structures for next year. And I mean, we all know that the takeover seems to be happening anyway, but there's been so many false dawns that I think we're all now a bit wary about predicting a date or anything like that. But it's just those little things, it's suddenly becoming a reality, and it's not just talk of a takeover. It's like, oh, actually they're having decisions in this club, and that bodes well, because it means it's going to happen. And we'll wait and see what the season ticket prices are and that kind of thing. But in terms of the first decision, whatever involvement they've had, I think it's the right one. So that's off to a good start, I would say.
We'll talk about the season tickets in a second, but obviously Lee Bowyer has been given the chance to manage the club until the end of the season now, with Jacko staying as his assistant. So he spoke to BBC Radio Kent's Tony Hudd earlier, who asked him, when did he find out?
I was told on, today's Thursday, so Tuesday. I was told Tuesday and, or late Tuesday, but mainly Wednesday morning. And I was obviously delighted and just thanked Rodon trusted me to the end of the season. So, yeah, I was delighted.
Dare I say it brings stability to a club that has known too much turmoil?
Sorry?
Can I just say it brings stability to a club that has known too much turmoil?
Yeah, well, for me, it's a good opportunity to finish what I've started. So we've got 7 games to go and we've got stability to the end of the season, and that's good for everybody, I think.
Does knowing you've got the job until the end of the season make your job any easier?
It makes absolutely no difference whatsoever. I've just got to keep winning games. We have to keep winning games. And that's it. That's what my job is. And I know that. Everybody knows that. So, and that's what I'll be trying to do.
Says Lee Bowyer talking about the fact that he is the man who'll be staying on. So he did sort of mention that Roland was the one who gave him the nod, which again is interesting. I don't really understand why Roland's getting involved. I mean, I'm glad he has in this case because I'm enjoying the Lee Bowyer era thus far.
Yeah.
So it's just interesting. Now, as you sort of alluded to, Tom, the club tweeted earlier about the season ticket update, which is obviously, you look around. I follow quite a lot of different clubs on Twitter. They're all plugging season tickets now. Most clubs you can buy them for next year already, and we'd certainly be that case. In that case, normally by now you'd be able to buy one. So they provided an update today saying there's a delay in the launch of the season tickets due to the impending takeover, and they hope to give the potential new owners an opportunity to have their say on the prices, which would make sense. And they said it is the intention to formally launch the season tickets for next year and place them on sale once the club has been taken over. However, should the takeover not be completed by Thursday, April the 12th, then season tickets will be launched on that day. Now, that's a week away.
I find that weird.
Yeah, so I mean, so in a way, they're sort of implying that everything could be done in a week, but many people have implied that before and been proven wrong, and because it is difficult to, you know, to put a finger on this. And there is two parties still involved. You know, the rumours of the Far Eastern or Arab, or I don't know what the right one word is there, and of course the Australians. They may be involved in some sort of bidding war, Roland playing a little bit of games to see who can get the most out of, which is what you'd expect, I guess. But the fact they're saying that it could easily, if it's not within a week, I mean, it's very specific. So it's surely to put that out, they must be saying we think there's a half decent chance it will happen within the week. I mean, otherwise, why not just do it today?
Yeah, I reckon that it's either really close, or they've learned from past mistakes where they've gone, where maybe like Richard Murray's come out and said it'd be done by February, and then they're just covering themselves.
He even said in the Bowyer stuff saying like he's not going to put a date on it because as we've seen, these things can take longer than expected.
I think by a miracle, I think the season tickets will be released on the 12th. Personally, I can't, surely. And to have that specific date as well, either it's really close or they've just said, right, we've got to draw the line somewhere.
I think they'll have drawn a pricing structure already that they were going to implement before all the takeover stuff happened. Maybe they're going to run that past the new owners in the same way that presumably this has been done with Bowyer, and let them have their say. But yeah, I'd be very surprised if the full takeover happens by then, but if it does, then brilliant.
And in terms of season tickets, I mean, it's quite a difficult one to put your finger on, really. But I mean, obviously, I think season ticket prices generally have been, you know, there's always been a cheap option here over the last few years, which I've always found good. I think normal seats, like up in the West End, perhaps have gone up for some people, which isn't great. But you're hoping that when whoever decides the new prices, you'd hope they stick with the ethos that they should be affordable for everyone.
Yeah, I think, I think Rick's talked about it before. I mean, our current pricing structure, it doesn't really make sense in terms that you could pay a cheap one and then you can move to
within the same stand.
It doesn't make sense, and Rick also said that it doesn't help in terms of our revenue stream either. It's not really well priced, but I think we should keep it in line, obviously, to make it affordable. I don't think they should go up, especially the certain ones where you're paying £600, which I'd never pay, but I think that's a main thing. But again, it all comes down to the strategy of these new owners, what they're going to do, because they could come in and charge on arm and leg.
And we still don't know where we'll be next season.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that they should go up just because we go up, if that was the case, but I'm sure they'll take that into account as well.
Excellent stuff. Right, so it's fairly interesting news that came out of the club today. Season ticket announcement on hold until the takeover happens, or in 7 days, whatever one comes sooner. Right, let's look ahead. Big game up at the Gas on on Saturday. The clash with the Gas is coming up. I spoke to Jack Vittles, who covers the Gas for the Bristol Post, to find out what he can tell us about Bristol Rovers.
Joined now on Charlton Live by Jack Vittles from the Bristol Post. Good evening, Jack. How are you doing?
Good, thank you.
Yeah, excellent. Right, obviously, you cover Bristol Rovers, and Charlton are heading over to the Mem on Saturday to take them on. I mean, Bristol Rovers sat in 10th now, just 7 points outside the playoffs. I mean, is their season as good as over now, or have they still got that outside chance of getting into that top six, do you think?
I think after Monday, they lost 2-0 up at Fleetwood. I think that's probably it. The manager came out as well after the game and said, you know, he's sort of given up hope on the playoffs for this season. Like you say, 7 points off the top six, only six games to go. I think it's, realistically, they are well out of the race now. So, a little bit of a shame, but it did keep us entertained at least for a bit, which isn't too bad. Obviously, not as entertaining as it'll be for Charlton.
Yeah, I mean, how has the season been in general for Bristol Rovers?
Inconsistent is how I would say. So a little bit frustrating. They started okay, had a really terrible run in October, November, where they won, I think they won one or two out of 13 in all competitions. And it looked like they might have been dragged into a relegation fight before Christmas. But since then, and since selling their best player, Billy Bowden, weirdly, they've actually progressed really nicely in 2018, looked pretty good, moved up the table. And yeah, until Easter weekend, they were sort of just on the edge with a shout of the playoffs. So inconsistent and a little bit frustrating, I think. Mm. If they could have picked up five or six more points in that autumn period, they'd be right up in there.
Mm. And there's a bit of a controversial moment on against Fleetwood on Easter Monday as well, of Chris Lyons being sent off. Was it for back chatting the referee?
Yeah, absolutely. So he picked up two yellow cards, both for dissent within about 90 seconds, 2 minutes of each other. Really bizarre. He sort of sprinted 50 yards across the pitch to yell at the referee, got his first yellow, and then a few seconds later, referee stops the game. Looked like he calmed it down, but as Lyons walks away, he must have said something. He gets a second yellow, and speaking to Daryl Clark after that as well, he said that they're going to discipline Lyons internally as well. He can't be having that. And it was just a bit surprising, really. He's one of the senior players, so Not a great afternoon for Rovers up there.
Yeah, I mean, you talk about one of the senior players there, but I think I read one of your stories about how Clark may be looking to bring in sort of younger players for the rest of the season now. I mean, do you think that there's a chance that they might start on Saturday?
Yeah, I mean, I think so. A lot of it isn't through choice as well at the moment. They're missing, probably 8 or 9 players by my count, injuries and line suspension. So they haven't got a huge amount of players to pick from, so I'd imagine we'll see a couple of youngsters on the bench, if not one or two starting. So, with the playoffs not really to play for now, I suppose the last six games are now maybe a chance to experiment a bit, use a few of the youngsters, but they've got some ridiculously hard games, obviously starting with Charlton, but they've got Wigan and Blackburn as well.
Yeah. And so tell us about Daryl Clark. I mean, obviously he's been in charge since March 2014, and he came in unable to rescue Bristol Rovers from the drop down to the National League that season. But since then, he's had two promotions in a row and a pretty respectable 10th place finish last year. So I imagine he must be pretty popular amongst the Gas supporters.
Oh, very, very popular. I struggle to think of a more secure manager, certainly in League One. He's been there, just over 4 years now. And that bad run I was mentioning before Christmas, that would do for a lot of managers, wouldn't it? They'd be walking out or they'd be sacked. So he shows how strong that bond is with Clark and the fans. It wasn't even mentioned before Christmas that his position might be under threat. He's, absolutely revered at the club, and they're very keen to keep hold of him. Like you say, two promotions, two looks like top 10 finishes now, on what is a pretty measly budget by League One standards. So, no, he's very popular with the fans.
Yeah, because I was going to say, I mean, at the start of this season, what were the fans hoping for as a sort of like a realistic aim?
I think, realistically, another top 10 finish would be seen as a success. I think at the start of the season, the players and the management came out and said, what they need to say, which is top six would be a success. But, for a club that was less than 4 years ago being relegated out of the Football League, to have back-to-back top 10 finishes, I think would be, a great success.
Yeah. And so moving forward to Saturday, I mean, which are the Bristol Rovers players that the Charlton fans who are travelling down to the Mem should be looking out for?
There's quite a few injured, but the ones that are still standing, I think Ellis Harrison up front is having probably his best season in a Rovers shirt. He's scored a few goals this season. I think he's got 14 in all competitions. He's been in decent form, big, strong, powerful striker. And then I would say perhaps well, they're all injured. I was going to say some of the players are all injured. But yeah, Harrison and perhaps Dom Telford as well, the loanee, another striker, if he gets to go on Saturday, which I think he might do actually. Maybe a rare start for him. He's on loan from Stoke. He's quick, he's nippy. He's got a touch of the Matty Taylor about him. So high hopes for him, I think.
Yeah. And just to put you on the spot then, I guess a prediction for Saturday, because obviously Charlton have had quite a happy time against Bristol Rovers over the last few years, especially last season when I think it was 5-1 at the Mem and 4-1 at the Valley, and obviously Charlton won on the first day of this season as well. So Bristol Rovers out there for a little bit of revenge now?
Yeah, I think so. And that game does still niggle, I think, with Darryl Clark. There was sort of a phantom goal in that game, and he's brought that up a few times since as an example of decisions not going for them this season. But yeah, I think it should be a good game. I think Rovers will be out for revenge. With the players missing maybe, and now the playoffs out of reach, whether motivation will be an issue, I'm not so sure. But I know Charlton are obviously bang in form. So I think it should be an entertaining game. I expect some goals as well. Rovers do tend to score, but they're a little bit leaky as well. So it should be an entertaining one.
Hopefully it will be an entertaining game. Thanks to Jack. Vigil's there from the Bristol Post. Interesting really that he... You know, Darryl Clark's effectively come out and said after they lost up at Fleetwood on Monday that he I think he's effectively written off their playoff chances now. I think it was 7 points they're behind us.
Yeah.
And because of that and B, but also sort of out of necessity, they're going to start bedding in some young players, which you do often see at the end of season, not normally this far from the end, normally the last couple of games, but I don't know, that sort of leaves it open for us a little bit of a chance there. A team that's maybe, I mean, you can look at it two ways. If they have now given up on playoffs, they're either going to play with no pressure and play with freedom, or they'll be on the beach.
Well, yeah, exactly. I mean, and also when you're playing youngsters, is if they've been given the licence to express themselves, like you say, they're going to play without fear. So I wouldn't take it lightly, and I wouldn't think, oh, yeah, we're going to win now, because, like you say, they can do what they can, try new things. Yeah, we might beat them. I think it is a bit of a tall order for them to catch us now, because it'll mean all of us...
If they beat us, there'll be 4 points behind
us. Even after that, even everyone above us, we'll have to go into a weird sort of everyone losing every week. Which,
yeah, that's true.
But, yeah, I mean, you can do it, but, yeah, it's a bit weird going early. But, plus, you do get more money the higher you finish. I know it's only probably a couple of thousand, but it could be worth a lot of money to them, but... Each to their own. I'll be happy if they play the goalie up front and a striker in goal. I'll settle for that.
Well, we've been playing a goalie up front all season. He used to be a goalkeeper, didn't he? I mean, do you think with the fact that Darryl Clark also seems a bit wound up still by the fact that on the opening day of the season we scored him with a goal that never actually went over the line, he'd be out for a little bit of revenge, especially after we humiliated them twice last season?
Yeah, I think so. And they've got a... got to say something. Let's say they have written off playoffs, they've got to have some motive to go into the game and do something, so they'll be looking for any little angle like that. I've just been looking at their form actually, and their last nine, they've won three, drawn three and lost three. And they've been in, so it's been win, lose, draw, win, draw, lose, draw, win, lose, so it's not even been like two results the same, you know, back to back. So they're very kind of all over the place, if you like.
Jekyll and
Hyde, yeah, so you don't really know what you're going to get from them, but we do know what we're going to get from us. You know, we're going to get all that work ethic, we're going to get fast attacking football hopefully, and if we can start quick again, then again it's a team that we the form we're on, we should just put away. But as I say, it depends how they come out, it depends who they choose to play and what their message is in terms of going into the game. So it's going to be an interesting one, but again, I don't think we've got anything to fear. We've just got to keep that confidence going.
It's amazing to think that a club like Bristol Rovers were in the conference a couple of years ago. I remember they had a proper riot on the pitch when they got down. They've had successive promotions since then that took them back into League One, finished 10th last season. I think they'll be happy, as Jack said there, with another 10th place finish this campaign. Right, so let's have a look ahead from a Charlton point of view. Obviously we want to get the injury updates, particularly on Tariq Fosu from Lee Bowyer. So he was asked about that as he looks ahead to Saturday's game.
Looking ahead to Saturday, Bristol Rovers always formidable at home. Have you got any players back from injury at all?
Cashy's back available now. Obviously we've lost Tariq. He's out. He's going to be out for a couple of weeks. But yeah, Cashy's a big player for us. So having him back in the squad is a big plus.
What's wrong with Tariq because he came off against Rotherham, didn't he?
Yeah, I won't get too technical, but he's got a bad groin and he's going to be out for a couple of weeks. So, hopefully maybe quicker.
Lee Bowyer, thank you very much.
He's at the same groin that he injured earlier in the season.
That was his fire. This is a completely different injury. So, yeah, it's just one of them things, unfortunately. Yeah. Like, you pick up them type of injuries, and I think the pitch against Northampton was a heavy pitch. And then the, on Monday, just tweaked it a bit. So, it is what it is. Yeah. I think when Sully come on, he done a great job. So, when one person goes out, it opens the door for somebody else.
On Saturday at Bristol Rovers, and they lost to Fleetwood on Monday, and I think their manager afterwards said he's ruled them out of the playoffs now. And do you still see them as a threat there, seven points behind, as a promotion rival?
7 points behind at the stage. To be honest, I'm not really going to concentrate on what's going on behind. My main focus is us and who we can catch and how high up the league we can get. That's the most important thing for me, because like I said, we're in sixth place and now it's in our hands, and the club's in a good position at the moment, and everybody seems to be happy, and like I said earlier, we just want to maintain that and keep everything positive around the place.
It was a 1 point from fifth place to ninth place. I didn't know the promotion race to be this type of player for us.
No, not known it before, but this league is very competitive, and there's a lot of good teams in this division. So I'm sure it'll go right to the end. But that's why we just need to keep carrying on winning games and putting ourselves out of touch before then.
You see a lot of twists and turns to come before this season?
Yeah, of course. It's football. Who would have predicted that Liverpool would have beat Man City 3-0 last night? Nobody. But it happens, and you just can't predict football. And I'm sure that what we do on a training pitch and on the games then will obviously decide where we finish.
So it's Lee Bowyer looking ahead to the clash with the Gas on Saturday. So interesting team news. I guess a few little questions have come out of it now. So we heard that Tariq Fosu is supposed to be out for a couple of weeks. Which is a shame, but I mean, Lee's saying Kai came on very impressed with him, and he said after the game on Monday this was a chance now for him to sort of stake a claim. So do you think that's the logical spot we're going to see, or do you think Marshall might get a chance? I mean, is straightforward that one or not?
Don't know, it's difficult, isn't it? But
he does talk about Kai a lot, so you'd assume he'd leave.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, well, I don't know, I think will he bring Cashy in again and put him deeper? I don't know, but you'd imagine Kai because he played quite central when he came on, didn't he? But I don't think he just should change the front two. I think that should stay. Mm. I think Josh will have to spend some time there. Be interested what he does about left back.
Yeah, that's the next one I have as a question. But Tom, I mean, in your view on the Kai situation, Kai and Marshall?
I'd play Marshall.
Yeah?
I just prefer him, which has come a long way from the start of the season. But yeah, Kai. The Palace thing itself doesn't bother me a huge amount, but I just, okay, he was better the last couple of games, but for me, Marshall was more reliable. He offers that defensive cover, which again, perhaps away from home, we might need a little bit more, but yeah, I'd start him. Aside from that, I agree with Nath. I think the front two should remain the same, and where possible, keep other players.
Yeah, and then we get on to the left-back situation, though. So obviously, Lewis Page was rested on Monday because of he can't do that many minutes, I think was the decision. He wasn't dropped as such, he was rested. And little Jay De Silva comes in, but I mean, how do you go? Do you go with little Jay De Silva, or do you go with Lewis Page?
I think he'll leave Jay in.
Yeah, same.
I think he will. I think Lewis Page has done anything wrong, but I think I don't know.
The only thing I might think is that with Page coming back to fitness and with Jay presumably going back in the summer, now's the chance to start bedding Page in ahead of next season. But he's not going to want to overdo it because of the injury. So maybe he's going to switch him up a little bit and rotate him over the next few weeks, but. And obviously we've got two Tuesday games coming up as well, so I expect we'll see them both over the next few games, but I would keep Jay in.
Yeah, Mark Newbury's got involved. He says, momentum is an amazing thing and it can see us charge into the team sitting above us, and they will be nervous now, and even losing Fosu early didn't seem to throw us out of our rhythm. There's not a weak link by the looks of it. Players coming in are looking assured, and now it's a headache for Bowyer, a good one over some positions. Best example being little Jay De Silva or Page for left back. Thought JFC was the man of the match on Monday due to his non-stop running and battling, and he's got a side we need, one which might get a bit dirty and horrible if needed, not afraid to stand up to bigger guys and just needs to learn a little bit of subtlety. I hope we can drive on for the away fixtures and great support and some payback over the results we've suffered. That's from Mark Newbury. Cheers for that, Mark. Right, so I mean, so in terms of a preview, a prediction even, Nath, which way? I mean, cash you back first. Obviously, we're still reeling from the fast. Yeah. Ready for that? The fact we won. Yeah. We won one once.
Yeah, I think I reckon we're gonna win 2-0, and I reckon a Jose's gonna get both.
Yeah, so
I think a Jose's gonna score.
Yeah, so you're gonna get some sort of cash you back out of that as well. Yeah,
I might try to do something like that. 2-0 with Jose.
No, nice one, and that'll be for the upbeats. I'm going to mention the upbeats walking in a second. So, Tom, just quickly, your prediction for the score?
I was going to say 2 as well, so I'll go 4-0.
Yeah, lovely.
Next logical step, isn't it?
Just double it. So, no, Lou's going to double it.
Lou's going to go 8-0.
I'm going to go, well, I'm not going to double it. That's ridiculous. I'm going to go 12-0. Right, as we mentioned, any money we do win on the cashy back bets, which is once, but you know, it's a substantial amount once we all added into it, goes towards the upbeats. And now next Saturday is the best day, I guess, in the upbeats calendar as in terms of fan inclusion, because it's the upbeats walk 2018. That's next Saturday ahead of the game against Scunthorpe. So don't forget, you can still sign up for that if you head over to the Trust website. It starts at 8 a.m. On Saturday the 14th of April over at the training ground. You walk to the valley, it costs £10 to enter, and you can try and get some sponsorship as well if you want to. Now, I am planning on signing up to that, so I'm going to do that before I go home this evening, but you two are already signed up, aren't you?
We'll
be there. So but it's a great occasion, chance to meet, I'm sure there'll be some former players there, of course, chance to meet Tom and Nathan if you want to, as well, and of course a chance to meet the upbeats, and then you'll get here early. I think you'll get fed, and then you'll get to watch the upbeats play on the pitch, which I mean, that'll be a win. Whoever it is they're playing,
they smashed South End last year. Yeah. 12-0 or something.
Whoever is there playing, they will be winning, so come and watch that. Right, so we've just about run out of time actually on this week's big match preview. Don't forget, we'll be back here on Sunday evenings, 7 o'clock on Maritime Radio to discuss whatever happens over at Bristol Rovers on Saturday. We'll also be there and following up on Monday evening Love Sport Radio. It'll be myself and Nathan with Alex Stevanovic as we look back at the game. That'll be a phone-in show as well, so make sure you join in. Ahmed from Dartford's going to phone in, and I want some others to phone in as well. Right, Tom and Nathan, thanks for joining us.
Cheers, see you Saturday.
I've been Louis Mendes. This has been the Big Match Preview. Hope you've enjoyed it. Thanks for getting involved. Let's hope that Lee Bowyer can turn 3 out of 3 into 4 out of 4 and cement our place in that top 6. Thanks for listening. I'll see you later.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.